April 24th marks the 100th anniversary of what many scholars have called the first modern genocide. More than 1.5 million Armenians died at the hands of the Turks between 1914 and 1923. Turkey vehemently denies this claim. Not the fact of the deaths, not that the deaths happened, but the label, genocide. But why does that word, genocide, matter so much? Judith Clare Mitchell was one of the first to write in detail about the Armenian massacre in a novel called The Last Day of the War. Does she still think about it?
Yes, I think about that all the time. On a very selfish level, it was an event that allowed the next genocide to happen, which was the Holocaust. The world did nothing about the Armenian genocide. They swore all through the war that there would be trials and justice. They did nothing, because turns out that part of the world has oil, and they just forgot about those people. It's very hard to live 100 years when something horrible has happened to your culture. They destroyed all the intellectuals, all the teachers, all the artists. It's very hard to live with that when the world will not even admit it happened.
So for people, listeners who are wondering, why does this matter, what would you say?
Well, it took place during World War I again. And it matters because it matters whenever a government tries to destroy a population. So this was a case, the Armenians were a Christian minority in Turkey, in a Muslim country. And they weren't killed in quite the same way. They were marched across the country. The Turkish government claimed they were just trying to relocate them because they viewed them as enemies within their own country. But they were killed along the way. They were left to die along the way. They just destroyed the population in very cruel ways. The Germans were fighting on the side of Turkey. They observed this. There are German generals who commented on how slow the method of killing was.
Wow.
I know. It's unbelievable. So when it came their time, they wanted to do it more efficiently. Hitler also said on the eve of invading Poland, he had a quote when the general said, "Don't you think the world is going to object to this?" He said, "Who today speaks of the Armenians?" So there's just this continued sanctioning and people feeling they have permission or that the world will not do anything. And it's going on today with different people. I just think it's really important to acknowledge when any people are targeted that way. You know, it's that old quote, nobody spoke for nobody spoke for the Armenians, so who was there to speak for me?
When you wrote your first novel, why did you pick that topic?
Honestly, because I was from Providence and I had a lot of Armenian friends, I knew vaguely about the genocide. In the literature I looked at, it was called a deportation, and I thought, well, that didn't sound so bad. I didn't quite realize what a euphemism that was for what happened. I thought, oh, well, they moved them somewhere. And that was so naive. But because my friends would sometimes mention it, but they never talked about it, I became curious and I went to the library one day and there were rows and rows and rows of books about the Jewish Holocaust. And there was no book, none, about the Armenian genocide. And I thought somebody should write one. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it from the point of view of a Jewish girl. I tried not to co-opt someone else's history. But I thought lots of people need to start writing about this. Without exception, Rafi's stories are harrowing and unnerving. And yet they are also extraordinarily entertaining. In Rafi's stories, Kurds swoop down on his sleepy village of Peri in Armenia to steal silver and torture prelates. Christian virgins are slung over the backs of mountain ponies and carried off into the hills. Turkish mudirs with curved swords leave the severed heads of village elders on doorsteps, the way milkmen in Providence drop off bottles of cream.
What kind of response did you get to that first book specifically about the subject matter?
I got adopted by the Armenian community. I was the first fiction writer to read at the Armenian Library in Boston, and there was a huge turnout. They were so warm. They came up to me, the women, the older women especially, and they said, we're going to adopt you. You're going to become Armenian. We're going to give you an Armenian name, and we're going to christen you. And I said, well, my Jewish grandmother just turned over in her grave, but okay. So people who haven't had their story told really yearn for that acknowledgement, and why shouldn't they?
All the stories begin the same way. One dreadful day in Perry, Rafi will say. And then Dub knows it's time to sit back and listen. Here is Rafi's version of dreadful. One dreadful day in Perry, several of my friends were beaten by grown men for sport. Or, one dreadful day in Perry, a little Christian girl was stripped naked and made to endure unspeakable things before an audience of jeering men. Or, one dreadful day in Perry, they pulled out the priest's beard, hair by hair. Dreadful, Dub thinks. The word stays with him after he and Rafi part. Doesn't that word actually refer to the manner in which one is supposed to approach God? Full of dread. Dread fully. Awe fully. Dub tries to make a connection. Perhaps by letting dreadful things happen to his people, God hopes his people will repent their sins, whatever they are, and thereby learn to approach him more dreadfully.
Judith Clare Mitchell, reading from her first novel, The Last Day of the War. She's just written a new novel which also traces the long tale of World War I into the present. It's called A Reunion of Ghosts, and she'll be back in a couple of weeks to tell us about it.